time comes and I'm standing at the river that separates the two worlds that I love. Torn between my precious friends and family and the place of peace that's waiting up above. Hold my hand and stay there by my side. And when I finally step into the tide, celebrate me home, celebrate me there, celebrate me in that land of wonder where nothing can compare. Celebrate me in that place, celebrate me saved by grace. Don't just sit and weep because I'm gone, celebrate me home. I've spent most of my life on earth preparing to take the trip from here to heaven's throne, with the shield and word of God to guide me. It's a comfort knowing I am not alone. So when I take my final fleeting breath and gently fade into the sleep of death, celebrate me home, celebrate me there, celebrate me in that land of wonder where nothing can compare. Celebrate me in that place, celebrate me saved by grace.
Don't just sit and weep because I'm gone, celebrate me home.
No more broken dreams, no more tears to cry. Into my Father's arms I'll fly. Celebrate me home, celebrate me there, celebrate me in that land of wonder where nothing can compare. Celebrate me in that place, celebrate me saved by grace.
Don't just sit and weep because I'm gone, celebrate me home, celebrate me home.
What a joy, what a joy. Celebrate me home. My sweetheart is home. I'll be home. You'll be home. It won't be long to all of us that are right with God and living for Christ will be home. What a broadcast we've got today. I am excited about this broadcast, and I want you in the middle of it. We're going to talk about a subject that's absolutely wonderful, the glorified body of the resurrected saints. The glorified body of the resurrected saints. Can you imagine anything more exciting than to think about and understand and get a biblical perspective of how it's going to be when we are glorified in the Father's presence, when we are resurrected saints, when we are on the other side of eternity? Now, there's two things to talk about today, and I want you to understand the distinction. This is very important. One, what state of being is a person who has died and they are in heaven, they're with the Lord, but they haven't resurrected yet. Their body is in the grave, so they are yet to be resurrected. What is that state? What kind of condition are we talking about? What kind of state are we talking about? And then, after the rapture, when the saints of God are resurrected and glorified and have their new bodies that's prepared for them, what kind of state is that? See, these are two different things. And I don't think there's been very little. In fact, I know there's been very little teaching or preaching about the distinction of the state of the departed dead and then the state of the resurrected, glorified saints. The state of the departed dead and the state of the resurrected, glorified saints. Now, the first thing you got to understand is when men and women die in the Lord, they die in Christ. They die in the faith. They are saints of the living God. They belong to Christ. That is a beautiful to think about. And we want to start with that, if we might today, and deal with the saints that depart in death and are awaiting the day of the resurrection. Now, the first thing I want you to know is where will they be? Go with me to your Bible, the book of Psalms, division 48. It says, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness." Listen now, beautiful for situation. "The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is known in her palaces. God is known in her palaces for a refuge." So every saint of God, dead in the Lord, die in the Lord, they will go to this place called Heavenly Jerusalem. This is where God has His great temple. This is where God has His great throne. This is where Jesus is seated at the Father's right hand. There are multitudes of angels that inhabit that city and fill it with glory. And they're crying out to the Father, "Glory, glory, glory," day and night. It's a place of splendor. It's a place of ivory palaces, the Bible says. It's a place of absolute beauty. Apostle Paul was caught up, and we'll read that scripture in a little bit. He was caught up into that heavenly city, and he called it paradise. He called it paradise. He said he saw and heard things that it was not lawful for him to even utter. It was outside the realm of his capacity to tell us about it. Now, that's the city where those who have died in the Lord have gone to await the day of the resurrection. Now, most of you have studied the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, where the Bible says when Jesus comes, those dead saints, they're not dead, but those saints that have died in the Lord, they come with Him. They come with Him, and their bodies are resurrected in front of or before the bodies of the living saints. So the dead saints, I don't like to say dead saints because they are not dead, believe me, but they've died on this earth. Their physical body is in death. Their physical body is in sleep. But oh, the blessed day when they will come with Him. They literally come, descend to the earth with Him, and they are reunited with their resurrected bodies, and they precede the living saints who are then resurrected, glorified, and we all precede then together to go back with the Lord to heaven. So the saints that have died in the Lord, they will precede us who are living, if I'm still living, and I hope to be, when the rapture takes place. And then we will proceed together once they're resurrected. Then we're resurrected. And it all happens in the twinkling of an eye. And then we proceed with them back to heaven. Now, what is the state of those precious saints that have gone on to meet the Lord? Apostle Paul said it well. He said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He even said he preferred to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. But he said, "But it's more needful for you that I remain here." So here we have a picture of Paul talking about going to be with the Lord. my wife, Juanita, has gone to be with the Lord. Now, one thing that struck me this morning, and it really gave me a thrill. I mean, it was like a wonderful revelation. A wonderful revelation by the Holy Spirit. And suddenly it dawned on me, they don't speak English up there. That's not a place of American languages or even Hebrew languages or even Greek languages. It's a place of the heavenly language. So the language that we call in our Bible unknown tongues, you'll find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 2. And it says very clearly, he that speaketh in unknown tongues speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, but by the Spirit, of course. So we know there is a language in the world of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And the Bible calls it unknown tongues. And that's the language being spoken right now in the heavenly city. That's the language that my wife and your family members and any of the great saints of God, that's the language they are speaking in today. Now you say, can you prove that? Well, that one verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2 is proof enough for me. If it's not for you, then we'll talk about it. That's what this broadcast is all about. It's talking about those things, helping you get in your Bible and get a picture of what awaits you over there. Now, what awaits you? You need to quit living for this down here. The now and whatever there is around you. You need to start living for that city. That city that is breathtaking. That realm of the saintly. That we all that are loving him and serving him and bearing our cross and doing the will of God. That's our future. And our future is for eternity. Compare that with, say, 80 years, 90 years, and many people 50 and 60, and maybe a few 100, but not many. You see, the future is what is so bright with excitement. The future is what's thrilling and joyous and marvelous. And if you've got saints in your family that have gone on to meet the Lord and you're not right with God, you're never going to see them again if you don't get right with God. You need to quit playing games. You need to quit fooling with your soul. You need to quit spending the Lord's day out there in the things of this world and start living only for Christ. Because if you go to that city, it will be because you have a pure heart and you've been washed in the blood and you've been saved by grace. You can't save yourself by good works. You can't save yourself by how good you live even. You got to be saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. And I want you to get that for clarity. So now, where do the dead go who die? And I keep saying dead, and they're not dead. If you are in Christ, there's no such thing as death. If you're in Christ, there's no such thing as death. Jesus said that to the sisters of Lazarus before he resurrected him out of the grave. If we live in Christ, we shall not die. We may go to sleep. Our body may go to sleep. And we immediately go to that realm of the holy and the righteous, that heavenly realm. I'm telling you, what a day. Jesus told the story of Lazarus and the rich man. Said Lazarus died and angels took him into Abraham's bosom. Well, the Abraham's bosom was just a symbolic term from a heavenly place, a place of peace and satisfaction, which the Old Testament saints went to temporary. But we don't go to it now, because Jesus has removed those saints from the Old Testament out of the place called Abraham's bosom, and they are now in heaven. They are now in heaven. And all the dead in the Lord are in heaven awaiting the great day of the resurrection. Now, we want to do something. You know, the Bible is such a marvelous book, and there's not a lot of scriptures you can read about where the dead go preliminarily before the day of the resurrection. So we just will read all about the whole truth of it all. Go to 1 Corinthians with me. 1 Corinthians, let's start with chapter 13. I really like this. 1 Corinthians 13, and let's go, if we might, to verses 11. Verses 11, 1 Corinthians 13, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. So you adults need to put away childish things, okay? Put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Listen to this. But then face to face, and that's at death. That happens to the person who dies today in the Lord. That happens to the person who dies today in the Lord. They are immediately in a realm where they see face to face, and they understand even as they are, even as whom they are. It goes on to say, then we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. I know in part. Now, he said, I know in part. I know in part. I'm not perfect in my understanding. You may talk with me today with your questions about this subject, and you may prove me wrong. And I am delighted for you to prove me wrong, because I'm here to learn. I'm still learning. I may have been a Christian 65 years now, about 65 years and a half. Be 66 in March of 2018. And I'm looking forward to being 82 and having served the Lord 66 years. Oh, I tell you, it's been marvelous indeed. So I don't know it all. I don't know it all. I see face to, I know in part, but then I will see face to face. How about that? Now I know in part, but then shall I know also as also I am known. Then shall I know also as I am known. So when we get there, we're going to know who we are. We're going to have a new language. I'm telling you, when Juanita Chambers entered those streets of gold and saw the Lord and saw her mama and daddy, she didn't speak English. She spoke the language of we call unknown tongues, the language of the Father, the language of the Son, and the language of the Holy Ghost. The Father's always had a language. Him and the Son and the Spirit, the Trinity of God, they speak with one another. The angels of heaven know their voice, and they talk their language before the angels of heaven. Or you say maybe the angels have their own different language. That may be true. I don't know that. There's no Bible verse that says one way or the other. But one thing I do know, the Father has a language. And the Bible says when you speak in unknown tongues, nobody understands you because you're talking to the Father. And I'm excited that that language will be the eternal language. You say, well, you may be wrong. Well, if I am, I'll learn when I get there. Until then, I'm just going to be satisfied with what I think I know now, because the Bible is very dependable. Oh, you can depend on every word in this blessed old book. I like that. For now, we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now we know in part, but then shall we also know even as I am known. Oh, what a day. So in that realm where Juanita is and where your loved ones that have gone on to meet the Lord are, there's wonderful knowledge about all the great things of God. We believe, and this is not a biblical supported statement, but we believe they have a spiritual body. They have some type of vehicle by which they communicate and by which they are part of the great scenes of heaven. They know the saints. They enjoy the great beauty of that city. Paul was caught up there, and he said, I don't know whether I was in the body or in the spirit. He wasn't sure of which it was, just like I'm sitting here saying, I'm not sure of all of the ultimate details, but I'm sure of one thing. It'll be wonderful to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Do you hear? That is what counts. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, the Lord is not there just with you or with a few. He's there with all. So to be present with the Lord would absolutely make you present with your loved ones. Present with friends and present with moms and dads and grandparents and presence with saints of God that they have known here on this earth. And so heaven is a place of great rejoicing. Heaven is a place of great excitement. Heaven is a place of glory and wonder. Let me go take you to 2 Corinthians and take a little peep here at Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul, when he was caught up, I thought I had it marked, but I didn't. I usually keep these things marked so that I don't have to go looking for them. It's wonderful when you begin to study all of this and know what a day that's going to be. I mean, that's going to be a grand and wonderful hour, and it's going to be glorious. But we know that if our earthly house, and let's go to this, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, if our earthly house of this tabernacle goes back to dust, were dissolved, we have a building, a house of God. We have a building of God and house not made with hands, reserved in the heavens. So the Lord is going to give to each body, a new body. Now, does that mean it'll look different? I don't believe it will. I believe you'll look like you. I'll look like me. I'll be not an 80-some-year-old man, probably 40s, but at least I'll be in youthfulness, and it will be a state in which I will be and know from now for eternity. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our body, our house, which is from heaven. See, a saint of God is anxious for that day. A saint of God is thrilled about what lay ahead of them. The saint of God is overwhelmed about the future and what is in our future. It is really exciting. It is really exciting. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle, listen, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not that we be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up in victory. So, every saint of God that has gone on to meet the Lord is in a state in which they are immortal. They are in great satisfaction. They are in peace. There's fellowship all through the heavenly realm. There's joy in the Holy Ghost. There's singing. There's praise. There's adoration. It is a glorious state. It is a glorious state. Hallelujah. What a day. What a day. And I'm going to be there. How about you? I'm going to be there, and it's going to be a blessed time for all of us to enjoy. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. It is not expedient for me to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord, Paul says. I knew a man. Now, he's talking about himself. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth such a one caught up to the third heavens. Now, you know, there's three heavens. There's the heaven realm where God is. There's the earthly realm where our atmosphere and we live. And then there's the second heavens where the devil is the prince of the power of the air. Okay, you understand. Well, Paul was caught up to the third heavens. And I knew such a man, whether into the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth how that he was caught up into paradise. And heard heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Now, you're talking about this realm where the dead in Christ are. This realm where the Father dwells. This realm where Christ is the prince of the power. I'm sorry, where Christ is the high priest. Satan is the prince of the power of the second heavens. But this is the third heavens where Christ is on the Father's right hand. And he's pleading our cause for us. He's petitioning for us. And so we know this realm exists where the righteous now are, where they're waiting the coming day of great glorification, when there will be the resurrection and the dead in Christ will rise with them, will rise, and we living saints will rise with them. Oh, what a day that is indeed going to be. Now, understanding a little bit about this glory that awaits us is overwhelming to me. I don't grasp it all, but I'm grasping more and more because I'm thrilled to be involved in understanding it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is just full of great excitement about this day ahead of us. Listen to this. I want you to hear it now. Very important. That, and that which thou sowest, Thou sowest not the body that shall be but bare grain. But bare grain, it may chance of wheat or some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it pleased him, and to every seed his own body. There'll be no, nobody look-alikes. We'll all have our body. We'll be the same person we are down here now. We will know even as also we are known, but we'll have a body that's glorified, a body that has been made for us, created for us, an eternal body, a body that knows nothing but the resurrection life that Jesus Christ knew. What a picture indeed for us to enjoy. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. Then he spends a number of verses showing the different kinds of flesh, showing the different glories in which God hath made all the things which are about us that we know and we love and we care about. But then he makes it plain that all of these different glories is how the resurrection of the dead is going to be. For every man or woman will receive in his glorified body the reward of his labor, of his devotion, of his dedication, of what he has done for the Lord and how he has labored for the Lord. So the rewards will be individual to every man or woman according to their labor. That's in the resurrection. In the resurrection. Oh, I tell you, it's all so beautiful. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthly, such so also are they that are earthly. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now, Adam was the image of the earthly. Christ is the image of the heavenly. As we have borne the image of the Adam, as we have dealt with the Adam nature, and we overcome the Adam nature by the blood of Jesus, as we have served the Lord in this Adam, with this Adam nature, and been victorious. So the day is coming when we shall be partakers of the heavenly. The earthly will be passed and the heavenly will occur. And the image of Christ will be that image which we will share in the glories of the eternity. As we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this, brethren, I say unto you that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. But I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. That means we shall not all die, but we shall all be changed. A mystery. We shall not all sleep. I don't know whether I'll sleep like my sweetheart wife has. I may go in the rapture. I'm looking forward to that. In fact, we both wanted that. We wanted to go together. Neither one of us wanted to leave early. We wanted to be right there side by side until the day would come. So he says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Now, I like that. All of us are not going to sleep, but all of us are going to have the same change. We're going to have the same glorious resurrection. We're going to have the same marvelous day. Now, I go past the dead in Christ. And now we go to the day when all both the dead in Christ and the living in Christ are going to be resurrected together. And they're going to get their new body. Oh, I'd like to be standing over in the cemetery when that resurrection happens and watch my Juanita come out of that grave. She'll make a 10-foot old. I'm telling you what a great woman she was. She'll make a, I say that in fun, of course, but she'll come out of that grave and there will be a hole everywhere a saint of God has resurrected. Some people don't understand that. They think it was just kind of a spiritual. No. A literal resurrection. Out of that grave, with her DNA, with her bones, whatever's left. I mean, she will come out of that grave, out of that tomb, and she will rise with a glorified body to meet the Lord in the air. And I intend to be right there rising with her. I'll show you a mystery in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised. The dead in, shall be raised incorruptible. The incorruption will put on, the corruptible will put on incorruption. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Well, I've given you enough to get you excited if you're excitable. I hope you are excitable, because I'm going to open the lines now and give you a chance to call. I would love to talk with you about the questions you may have concerning this glorious day of the resurrection. I really do. I want to hear what you are thinking about, what your questions are. And I want us to spend these last 30 minutes talking. What do you think about all I've said? What question do you come up with that would be good to talk about and to try to help? Here's the numbers, of course. You know that. Let me give them to you so that you can make sure you call. I will leave them a moment, 704-391-0588, 1-800-338-7884. Okay? I want your questions. I want to talk with you. What do you think about the language of heaven? The language of unknown tongues in our modern era, but in that day, the language of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Oh, I believe with all my heart that's the language you will speak up there. I believe that's the language that the dead in Christ are talking right now. They're not talking in English and some in Spanish and some in, you know, all the dialects of the world. Nobody would understand each other. But they all speak in the same language. And it's the heavenly language. It would be the language of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And if you talk with Jesus up there, you will not talk with him in Hebrew or in English or in Greek. You will talk with him in the heavenly language. And so when you are there, you will be in a state that's alive, not resurrected, of course, but alive. And you'll have some kind of spiritual body in which you can communicate. You'll be at perfect peace. There will be no more troubles. There'll be no more tears. It'll be a state of happiness, Now grab your phone, 1-800-338-7884. I'm going to depend on you to make this last half of this hour exciting by questions. I'm depending on you. Grab your phone right now. Grab your phone right now and call me, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. Now, I've got lots of scripture. I can read and I can tell you so many wonderful things, but the questions you have are now very important to me, because I want to get you excited about going to heaven. I want us to think more about heaven than people think about hell. I want us to learn more about heaven than most people don't even think about heaven today. How much do you hear any preacher preach about heaven? It's like we're living for the here and now. We're living for the earthly pleasures. We're living for earthly things. Oh, no, not me. Not this pastor. I'm living for heaven. I'm living excited about going up in that divine rapture. I woke up this morning. I was sitting in my study. It was kind of early. I was meditating, praying, loving the Lord. The Spirit of God just came in that room. It was beautiful. I love the presence of the Holy Ghost. I must live in the presence of the Holy Ghost. I am not willing to live under no other situation but in the presence of the Holy Ghost. That's my life. I want to live in that sweet presence of the Spirit of God. I want that Holy Ghost anointing to be upon me every hour of the day. I want you to have the same, living for him. You know, I'm overwhelmed by the importance of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. As I realize the language of heaven is that unknown tongue that we see in our Bible. As I realize that, I understand how imperative it is that people understand and learn the things about God. Learn the things about this Bible and get full of the Holy Ghost. If you're not full of the Holy Ghost, I'm sorry. You are living a substandard life. You really are. You live in a sub-Bible life if you're not full of the Holy Ghost. Get excited about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and get your life under that great moving of the sweet Spirit of God, and you'll find joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now, I'm fixing to take a phone call. Grab your phone and call. I got a booklet today I'm giving you on this subject, the glorified body of resurrected saints. When I talk about all of this, you'll have the scriptures. You'll have wonderful things to study. You'll learn that there's seven resurrections in the book of Revelation. 7 resurrections in the book of Revelation. You'll learn that, and you can study the whole of the resurrection. It really is a glorious subject, and you need to get it in your heart and learn these things. You're on the air. May I help you, please?
When is the rapture going to take place in this sequence of tribulation?
All right, now say that again. I'm trying to get my volume set.
I say, when is the rapture going to occur in the sequence of the tribulation period?
All right. Now, you've got the pre-tribulation rapture, which occurs before the seven-year tribulation period begins. Now, there's going to be tribulation. There's already tribulation. But the great tribulation is the seven-year period, and the rapture will occur before that 7 years starts. But then there's a rapture in the middle of it of the tribulation saints. Then there is a catching up of the two prophets that preach all over the world. And then there's a catching up of the 144,000 Jews. And then there's a remnant of the Jews. And then there's a remnant of the Gentiles. And then there is a rapture of the wicked called the White Throne Judgment. And so the Bible is full of that. And I have all of that listed in this book with the scriptures so that every person really ought to study that. It'll open your understanding of the book of Revelation better than most people have today. Okay, further question?
When is the regular rapture going up?
The regular is before the tribulation. That's called the pre-tribulation rapture. That's the saints who live in holy. That's the wicked, the godly saints that are in the grave. They'll be resurrected. That happens before the seven-year tribulation period begins. Who?
The martyrs. The ones that gave their life unto death.
Okay, that's the middle of the tribulation period. That's called the tribulation saints. That's in Revelation 7. Begin with verse 11 in Revelation 7, and you'll have a picture of the tribulation saints.
Well, 144,000 go with them, with the martyrs.
You want to wait and go with them? I was thinking, oh no, I didn't hear that right. No, sir, you don't want to stay here. The 3.5 years at the beginning of the tribulation, there will be the martyrdom of literally millions of people. People who turned to Christ, people who were lukewarm and indifferent and didn't go in the rapture. People aren't going in the rapture if they're lukewarm. People aren't going in the rapture if they've left their first love. People aren't going in the rapture who are just pew warmers, just warming a seat in the church. The people that go in that rapture are people looking for him to come, watching for him, and living separated life right now. Those are the ones going in the pre-tribulation rapture.
All right. I thank you.
You're welcome, and God bless you. God bless you. You know, it's beautiful to learn all about the resurrection and the rapture. And I don't know why everybody don't want to learn it. I mean, I want to know everything I can know about it, and I want to be ready when Jesus comes, when that trumpet sounds. That primary rapture, the pre-tribulation rapture, that's for the weak, the righteous dead, and for the righteous living, ready to go. And then the tribulation rapture is for people that get right with God after the rapture takes place. They fall on the, let me tell you, when that rapture takes place, there is going to be a multitude of backsliders, of lukewarm people, of indifferent people, of people who've been skeptical and indifferent, of Jewish people who realize the rapture is taking place. It's going to be an incredible move of people coming to Christ after that primary rapture. And so those are the people who will die as martyrs. The Antichrist will hate you with a passion. He'll go after your very being. And he will do his best to turn you around and cause you to give up and go back to the ways of the world. But those to whom he fails, they will be raptured and they will be martyred first and then raptured in the middle of the 7 years. Okay? Now, more questions. I want to help you. I want you to have this booklet now. This is imperative that you get this booklet and that you learn, that you dig, that you don't take for granted what some preacher's telling you that don't know what he's talking about. Most preachers have not studied Revelation. They just have some kind of twisted up idea that they've learned from somebody else. And you know, we got a lot of people today who are really going into the craziest kind of doctrines and religious ideas. And I'm amazed. I'm amazed at the things being taught. Kingdom dominion theology is one of the biggest. They don't believe in a rapture. They believe we are going to set up the kingdom on the earth, and they're actually going to be serving the Antichrist and think they're serving Jesus Christ. And that's going to be a sad chapter. That really is. All right, questions, answers. We'll do our best. Grab your phone, 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. I want to talk to you about this subject. I want you to get an understanding. Hey, how many of you agree that when you go to heaven, you will not talk English, but you will speak the language of heaven, the language of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost? And that indeed, that's what we have. He called it unknown tongues, but only the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost understand it. You know, and so I believe that's the language that we'll speak for eternity. And that's why I want you to be full of the Holy Ghost. See, when I pray often, I pray in the Holy Spirit. I pray and many times I pray in unknown tongues. I'm talking to God. Nobody understands me. Nobody's supposed to understand me. It's me and God having fellowship. You can have that same experience. The Pentecostal experience is a Holy Ghost experience. Anybody that tells you that speaking in tongues is not the initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost is a backslid man. He is a confused and maybe even a false prophet. Many good people are all confused about the things of God. Hey, call us quickly. 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588. And you're on the air. May I help you, please?
Yeah, Reverend Chambers, so what do you think about this cremation that everybody's going out for?
Well, it's an aversion from the devil. It is a cheaper way to get rid of your dead people. It is absolutely pagan. It's a heathen experience, a heathen to the core. Now, I'm not saying that everybody who gets cremated will go to hell. No. No, many people are being cremated that had no intent of being cremated. Their kids are just stingy, and they don't want to spend no money on mom and dad, and so they have them cremated. That's sad. That really is sad. But I have a wonderful book I've written on that, in which I take the scriptures and really nail it to the wall. Cremation is a heathen practice to the core.
Yeah, I've heard there's nothing in the Bible about cremation. The only ones that was cremated was the prostitutes.
Well, it was heathens. Cremated heathens and prostitutes, yes. But heathen people, people that didn't know God, didn't want to know God. Heathenism has always practiced creation, but Christians have never practiced creation. What if they'd have cremated Jesus? Have you ever thought about that? What if they would have cremated Jesus? Of course, they couldn't because God wasn't going to let them, you know. Of course, the Jews wasn't going to do that anyway. Sir, any other question?
Yeah, well, I just think this is just one way of getting rid of the body.
Well, yeah, just a cheap way of trying to bypass God. Some people want to be cremated because they don't want to answer to God. Well, let me tell you, God has the DNA of every man and woman ever lived or ever will live, and they will either be resurrected unto righteousness or resurrected unto wickedness. There will be a resurrection of the wicked, just like there will be a resurrection of the righteous. And the wicked will be raised with damnable bodies that have all the characters of their life on earth. If they were a sodomite, they'll be going all over hell looking for another sodomite. It'll be a hellish world for the wicked when they're cremated. I'm sorry, when they are judged and placed into the lake of fire.
Well, thanks a lot.
God bless you. Hey, stay on the line. I'm going to put you on hold and let my lady send you a copy of the cremation article, okay? Stay on line. I want to send you a copy of the cremation article. Line one, please send him a copy of the cremation article. And you call us. I want to answer your question. I want to help you understand that the future for the Christians is as bright as heaven is bright. I mean, we're talking about the place where the righteous will reign. We're talking about new bodies that will be glorious. And I've tried to write a few things. The likeness of the resurrection, it will be flooded with heavenly life. I mean, the life of Christ will flood the glorified body of a saint of God. It will be beautiful. It will be marvelous. A glorified body that will have no earthly limitations. You'll be able to move with the speed of thought, just like Jesus did. You'll have a resurrected body that knows no limitation to this earth. It will be untouched by Adam's sin. There will be no sin, evil trying to take hold of your life. You won't be tempted. I'm trying to get the word tempted, couldn't get it. The word tempted. You won't be tempted by sin because you'll have no Adamic nature in that new body, okay? No Adamic nature. You will not be tempted like Adam, and the enemy of death will be forever defeated. Your new body cannot die, will not die, has no element of death, has no likeness to Adam, has nothing of which the wicked world now is possessed of. And I'm telling you, it's going to be a wonderful life. Can you think of a heavenly body ready to walk right into God's holy presence? Can you think of a body that speaks a new language that brings glory and honor to the Lord? Can you think of all of that? I mean, there is so much about it to make you happy, to make you want to live so that you'll spend eternity with God. And if you live in sin for 50 years and have nothing but just what you've earned money and what you've accumulated in wealth of this world, and maybe some things you've done that got you some prestige and some honors, what will you have when it comes time to die? What will you have when you lay your body down and you know that death is right next door? You know that you're in the processes of death. What will you have if you don't have God? What will you have if you don't have God? Let's go to 1 John 3:2. Let's take a few scriptures here while I'm waiting on your call. Grab your phone, please. I want to talk to you. I really do. I want you to ask your question. And I want to try to help you understand. If you're not living for Christ, you're living in vain, my friend. You're living in vain. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. The world don't like me. Worldly people don't like me. Godless people don't like me. Backslid people in the church don't like me. People who've left the great straight way of the Bible, they don't like me. That's normal. They don't like the things of God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Listen, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know this. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. But we know when he appears that we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. Do you hear what I'm reading to you? We shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. Now go to Revelation 2:3. If I could get every one of you to take Revelation 2 and Revelation 3, and you would read these seven letters to the seven churches. I'm going to read you a little bit of them, okay? To the first church at Ephesus, he promises, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Which is in the midst of the paradise of God. To him that overcometh. Overcomes what? Your flesh, the world, and the devil. You got three things to overcome. Your flesh, the world, and the devil. Now to the next church, he says, He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. And again, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat. Will I give to eat of the hidden manna? Oh, I wonder what that hidden manna will be. the hidden manna, some kind of heavenly food that will be so delicious that you won't remember the last fried chicken you ate. You won't remember the last big old ribeye steak you ate. You won't remember the last great feast that you were part of. My wife made the best chicken and dumplings you've ever eaten in your life. She knew how to make them. She'd use a whole chicken, boil that whole chicken, take every bit of that flavor out of that chicken and put her chicken and dumplings in it. And I'm telling you, it was good. It was so good. I'm missing it right now. Anybody out there that want to cook some chicken and dumplings right? Call me and let me tell you how to do it. I remember. I know how she did it. And I can tell you exactly. In fact, I'm going to try to learn. But anyhow, eat of the hidden manna. And I will give him a white stone. And in the white stone, a new name. You say, why will we need a new name? Because I won't be called Joseph Chambers in English no more. I'll be called Joseph Chambers in the heavenly language. I don't know what it'll sound like, but it'll be wonderful. It'll sound with a ring of beauty. It will sound with a beautiful echo. I promise you that. So we'll have a new name written, which nobody knows but us and the Father. Here's another. To him that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end. Keepeth my works. Notice that, unto the end. To him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as a vessel of a potter shall they be broken, and shall this even as I received of the Father. Listen, we're going to rule the world. Those that overcome. Those that get those new bodies. Those that have that new language. Those that have a new name written in a new stone. Those that eat the manna from heaven. Those that have overcome the second death. Are you hearing me? It's going to be wonderful. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father. Jesus said, I will confess his name before my Father. Let me tell you something. You've never seen the Father. Nobody has ever seen the Father. But when you get to heaven and you get your new body and you've lived pleasing to the Lord and you've confessed him to other men, you've forgiven anybody that did you wrong. Nobody, nobody have you held a grudge against. Nobody have you hated. Nobody have you been jealous of. Nobody have you resented. And you get there and he's going to honor you. He's going to take you and introduce you to the Father. And you are going to get to see the Father's face. I can plain imagine what it's going to be like when I see the Father's face. Now, there is a good possibility, we can't prove this, but that Juanita, my wife, has already been met the Lord. She's been received by Christ. She's been given his honor, and she's been introduced to the Father. And she's already talked to the Heavenly Father in that new language of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. You're talking about a place of absolute glory. You're talking about a place of absolute beauty. You talk about a place of absolute excitement, friend. I'm here to tell you that's going to be an exciting place. I think I've got one more here. Yes, I have. He that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. Now listen, he that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. This is in New Jerusalem. And he shall go no more out and in, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Revelation chapter 3, that's verse 12. I've gone through Revelation. There's one more. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Now Jesus said, to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Now, saints, if you have any burden to do anything but please God, I pray you will learn to die daily, like Paul said. Paul said, I die daily. That meant he put this flesh under his divine surrender to Christ on a daily basis. He said no to the appetites of the flesh that displeased God, or that were in any way possessive of his time and his talents. This man wants to please God that I'm talking about, and he's going to sit down with the Father in his throne, man or woman. Are you listening to me? What a day that is going to be. Now, calls 1-800-338-7884. 7884. Let me try again to give you my numbers so you can call, okay? I want to hear from you. I want your question. I got 8 minutes. 704-391-0588, 1-800-338-7884. I want every moment of this time left to be used in calls from you, okay? I want to hear from you. I really do. I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you. I want God to talk to us, and I want to hear from you, my dear friend, because God is a great God who loves you. Call me quickly, 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. Don't wait a minute. Let's spend these last 7-8 minutes talking to you about our new body. Can you imagine? Can you imagine a glorified body with no earthly condemning factors? Can you imagine a new body with no temptation? Can you imagine a new body that never can get sick? Sickness is completely out of the realm of these glorified bodies. We will be able to have fellowship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost and all the angels of heaven. It will be a place so magnificent. Paul called it paradise. I was caught up to paradise. He said, what I saw, I was not allowed to describe. I won't even allow to tell you what I heard. It was so magnificent. It was so outstanding. Are you going to be there? How many of you are planning to truly be there? You really want to so live that you can spend eternity in the presence of the Lord. That's what I want to live for. That's what I am living for. I'm telling you that right now. It's beautiful to live a life only for Christ and to be ready to meet him when he calls and when he comes. Now, I've got so much in this Bible I can read to you about. Let me read you a little bit while you're calling. 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588, the toll-free number, 1-800-338-7884. I want to hear from you. I'd love to spend this time answering your questions, and you're on the air. May I help you, please?
Yeah, Pastor James, you're talking about cremation.
Yes.
I know you said you didn't agree with, but, you know, if you're born-again Christian and some accident would happen, if you get burned up in a house fire or a car wreck or something,
that will be no consequence. God has their DNA. A person who gets burned up has nothing to worry about if they're right with God. That's not a factor at all. We're talking about cremating somebody because just they want to save money.
I know, buddy. That's what I agree with you there. But I just had that in my mind, you know.
Well, I understand that many people have been burned up by accidents, by all kinds of actions. People hate some people enough to set their house on fire and burn them up in their own house. You don't have to worry about those people. It's no different than if they were buried in a grave. So we're going back to the dust anyway, you know.
That's right.
We're going back to the dust. But we don't aid that by some kind of cheap way of getting rid of the body. Cremation is absolutely an act of paganism, and we don't participate in that. That's just all it is to it. Now, I know it's expensive to bury the dead. I just buried my wife. I know how much I spent. But I wanted to bury her with the highest of honor. She was my sweetheart, and I wouldn't have buried her no way but with the highest of honors.
That's right.
Thank you, sir.
I appreciate it.
God bless you. Give us a call now. We've got time for another call or two. And while you're calling, I'm going to read you something. I want you to hear this. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where's your treasure? My treasure is in heaven, I want to tell you. One either. My treasure is in heaven. And some days I want to just go now. But I've got a lot to do, and I want to labor till the Lord's through with me. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord. Listen to this. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he shall return from the wedding. When he shall return from the wedding or for the wedding. That when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants when the Lord I'm sorry. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Now listen, you got to hear this. Blessed is a servant whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Now I'll come right back to that. Let me take a call. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, sir. I was listening to your radio station. I've never heard you before, but I have a question. About 2 years ago, I used to be fully committed in the church, willing to do anything for God, just really sold out. But then I experienced a church hurt, well, by one of the pastors of the church, and I slowly stopped going to church until I completely stopped going to church. And I just need to know how I can get back to that intimate state where nothing matters. I don't think about people, the past hurts and everything. So I can.
Well, you read the book of Revelation, chapter 2, and you'll find in that chapter where the Lord speaks to the church at Ephesus that they had left their first love. You left your first love, right? Is that a good description? You left your first love. Now you want to get back. You know what the Bible says? Do your first works over. You need to go to a good church where it's full of the Holy Ghost. You need to get in that altar and repent of your sins and turn from your sins. Then you need to be baptized in water. Then you need to become a part of that church. And you need to start reading your Bible. You need to start living a daily life of surrender. And just start all over just like you did the first time.
Wow.
Is that simple? It doesn't seem simple. Every backslider tells me that coming back to God was the toughest thing that they ever experienced. You need help. Do you have a good church that you can go to? Are you living close to this church in Charlotte, North Carolina?
I am near Charlotte.
All right. You come to church in the morning. I'll talk with you when service is over and try to just give you some wisdom. You get right here in this altar when I get through preaching and surrender your life to Christ. Ask him to forgive you for backsliding. Ask him to forgive you for turning away. And then just simply do your first works over. And I believe you're ready.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to look for you tomorrow.
Okay.
I'm going to look for you tomorrow. 5110 Tuckasegee Road, Charlotte, North Carolina. Have you got that?
Yes, sir. I know what Tuckasegee is. Thank you.
Okay. God bless you. And I'm praying for Jesus to save you. Okay? I'm going to... Now, I want to give you the secretary, and I want you to give her your name and address, okay? And your phone number. I'll give you a call and pray with you over the phone when the program is over. Okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. Hold on. Answer the phone, please, ladies, and take her name and phone number. Make sure you get her address and phone number. And listen to me, folks. I want you to know something. There's a lot of people out there in that very state. Don't wait around. Turn to God and turn to him quickly. You don't have much time left. Are you hearing me? Turn to him quickly. You don't have much time left. So turn to God with every bit of your heart and surrender your life to him. I promise you, he will never let you down. He will never let you down. He will care for you. He will watch over you and he will protect you. Now, are we trying to buy a new sign out in front of our church? It's going to cost us $20,000+. And I want everybody out there to help me. I want you to help me buy that sign. Would you do that? Everybody that can. I need some really nice gifts. $22,000 is what it's going to cost. And we're trying to reach this community. We've been knocking on doors for nearly a year now. We've had tremendous results. And we are meaning to have a breakthrough in this city. We want to break through in the city of Charlotte in a Holy Ghost revival. So help me with that sign, would you? I will bless you for helping me. Now, I love you. God bless you. Get ready to go. Jesus is coming. I said, get ready to go. I want to see
ever to rejoice. When in service for my Lord, dark may be the night, but I'll cling more close to him. He will give me light. Satan's snares may vex my soul, turn my thoughts aside, but my Lord goes ahead, leads whate'er betide. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all pass, home at last, ever.
when in valleys low I look toward the mountain high, and behold my Savior there, leading in the fight, and with a tender hand outstretched toward the valley low, guiding me, I can see as I onward go. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, up there to sing forever of His saving grace. And on the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. My cares all pass, home at last, ever to rejoice. When before me billows rise from the mighty deep, and my Lord directs my bark, He does safely keep. And He leads me gently on through this world below, and He's a real friend to me. Oh, I love Him so. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. And on the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. My cares all pass, home at last, ever on that chorus. Oh yes, I want to see Him, look upon His face, up there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. My cares all pass, home at last, ever on that chorus once more. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, up there to sing forever of His saving grace. And on the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. My cares all pass, oh, ever to rejoice.